I'd like you to take your Bibles with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me just mention, by way of introduction, remember we talked about last week, actually we've used this verse a couple of different times, Jude 3 says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. But it does not mean that we are to be contentious. Now, so are we, if we mention names, does that mean we're being contentious? No. Why is it that the Apostle John mentioned Diotrephes by name? Why is it that the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, more than just say, watch out for that coppersmith? No, he said, Alexander the coppersmith. There are times when we have to warn by giving names. However, there's times, though, that I have heard somebody who becomes contentious in contending for the faith. What I mean by that is, you know, there's nasty name calling and all of those things. That is what is unbiblical. What I want for us to look at here tonight is a proper defense of the King James Bible. And I've also pointed out to you and given you the illustration, the example of a preacher that was King James only and all that, but anyone that was a new Christian or whatever, I remember the time that he talked about going to the jail, and he took somebody's NIV over to the garbage can and threw it away and said, that's not the Bible. That's not a proper defense of the King James Bible. I want for us to notice Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Notice here, first of all, we must remain balanced as we battle for the truth. As it says here, and it came to pass that from that time forth that the half of my servants, is of course Nehemiah writing, wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Notice there's a balance between battling and building. In the Revolutionary War, there was a popular saying that says, trust God, but keep your powder dry. There's a balance there. But you notice here the balance of building and fighting. There are some churches who will always fight, always preach issues. I don't believe that's proper. That's one reason why, for example, I preach through books of the Bible when I have opportunities to preach on a consistent basis, because then you have a balance of subjects, a balance of issues or ideas that you're preaching. If you preach through a book of the Bible, then, in fact, I believe there's a reason why the Holy Spirit laid it out the way He did. So again, preaching through a book of the Bible is an example, but a balance of preaching, balance of issues, not to get caught up in all those issues. But there are other churches who stand for nothing. But let me give you an example of John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe, of course, produced one of the English Bibles in leading up to the King James Bible. But at the same time, he also was a fighter. He opposed the Roman Catholic Church oppression. In fact, he was a Roman Catholic priest, and he stood firmly and strongly against the Roman Catholic Church. So again, the balance between building and fighting. Second of all, respond strongly when the circumstance calls for it. Notice with me Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. There are times when we need to respond strongly. And I believe we need to sense the Holy Spirit's leading and direction in that. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. I heard Dr. Phil Stringer, as I was listening to a sermon on this subject, just getting my mind prepared for this lesson here. Dr. Stringer said that his personality is, he loves to make them feel like the fool that they are so that they're not proud of their conceit. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. What happens if you do not answer a fool properly? He thinks he's right. If you do not answer a Bible critic with the truth and with the evidence, they will become wise in their conceit. There are times when we need to answer strongly. You notice here, Solomon says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. However, don't go to his level. Because that's what it says in verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So in other words, I don't answer a fool who was that preacher down in Pensacola? Just Peter Ruckman. Using the F word, cussing and cursing, that's foolish. And that has only hurt and harmed the defense of the King James Bible. Number 3, obey the Bible that you're defending. I've said all along the way, we defend the King James Bible and we don't obey it, we are hypocrites.
Right, you're right.
We are hypocrites if we don't obey this book while I'm defending it. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of what I'm seeing, hypocrisy in the Independent Baptist movement.
Right.
And we preach strongly this book, but there's glaring contradictions as far as our way of life. I want you to notice with me Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Again, it is hypocrisy to fight for the King James Bible and knowingly disobey its commands. I'm not talking about the fact that, you know, we're going to disobey. We're going to, you know, whether it's sins of commission or omission, there are times when I'm going to disobey the commands of this book. That's called repentance. I go to the Holy Spirit, I go to God and say, I've been wrong. I want you to notice here what Jesus said. And by the way, Jesus was very strong in his statements about the preachers of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Notice it says in Matthew 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So notice the positions of authority. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, let me just point out here that the Pharisees and the scribes were defenders of the law. All right? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. By the way, that's the performance Christianity that Pastor Smith preaches constantly. There's a performance Christianity. How many souls have you won this week? That's performance Christianity. If you had asked Noah how many souls have you won in the last 120 years, he would have said, I've reached my family. So was he successful or not? I think so, considering he and his family were the only ones who lived through the flood. All their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and so there's a list here of all of the things that they do for outward show. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Doctor so-and-so. Yeah. By the way, I have a doctorate. There's a lot of people that didn't even know that. I heard a preacher say, you know what is a doctor? What a doctorate is? It's like the tail on a pig. Can you tell me what the tail on the pig is for? It doesn't shoo any flies away, that's for sure. What's the tail on a pig for? Funny looking little tail. That is a doctorate. What is a doctorate good for? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out sometimes. Greetings in the markets to be called of men. Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon earth. What Roman Catholics have trouble with that. They kind of overlook that one. For what is your Father which is in heaven? And by the way, that's what's really blasphemous is Holy Father. That's what Jesus called his heavenly Father. That's what they call themselves. Neither be called masters, for what is your master, even Christ? But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. No, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. By the way, notice again, Jesus didn't have problems pointing out to the multitudes. Remember, he's preaching this to the multitudes. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you may clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Clean from the inside out. You know, we like to have our haircuts, we like to have our suits and ties, which I think we should do that in church. But you notice what they're emphasizing is the outward, and the inside is corrupt. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, a burial place, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. What's he talking about there? Corrupting flesh of a dead person within a tomb. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It's hypocrisy to fight for the King James Bible, to knowingly disobey its commands. Jesus had strong words for the Pharisees and scribes who knew the law. Notice also Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Sound doctrine should make a difference in our behavior. Titus chapter 2, written, of course, to a preacher, Titus. But speak thou, verse 1, the things which become sound doctrine. Then he talks about the aged men being sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, that there be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, take it serious. Boy, our young people today have trouble being serious. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In other words, they're put to silence because they can't find anything to accuse you of. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. So how do we work? Are we good testimony at work? Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We like to emphasize we're in the age of grace. That's not to the exclusion of the law. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, notice, grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and glory supreme of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Notice, all iniquity. He has redeemed us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify of himself a peculiar people, some are more peculiar than others, zealous of good works. Do you notice how he finishes this up? These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. The King James Bible should make a difference in how I live my life. Sound doctrine should make a difference in my behavior. Number 4. Allow the Bible to defend itself. Ephesians 6:17, of course, says that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And here's what I mean by this. Instead of taking somebody's NIV over to the garbage can, I believe a better way is to open up your Bible with me to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. This is what I do with people. I want you to notice Acts 8, verse 37. So as they open up their Bible to Acts 8, Acts Oh, 37 is on the bottom of the page. Exactly. Why is it on the bottom of the page? Ask them to open up their Bible to Luke 2:33 and say, who is the Father of Jesus Christ? And they'll say, God. All right, so read for me Luke 2:33 and tell me who the Father of Jesus is. Allow the Word of God to speak, because then you can take the King James Bible, the entire Word of God, and say, here's what the Bible says. Allow the Word of God to defend itself. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have them take a look at Mark 16 and John 7 and 8 that we looked at last week. Have them take a look at 1 Timothy 3:16. And say, you know, there's nothing supernatural about a person, he being manifest in the flesh, but it is supernatural for God to be manifest in the flesh. Allow the Bible to defend itself. Those are the Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Realize that you will not win people with an argument. I've had to learn this the hard way over the years. Keep thinking, if I just argue with them a little longer, then maybe they'll see it. No, they won't. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. How many of you have ever sat down to a plate of salt? Grace has found a plate of pepper, but... salt is for seasoning. Pepper is also for seasoning. But you think about this. Notice here it says, let your speech always be with salt. Is that what it says? Let it be with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt is for seasoning. That's not the main dish. Notice with me on 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. How is it that God peradventure will grant repentance? Notice how this happens. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, let me share an illustration of this. I've mentioned Dr. Jack Mormon and his debate with James White somewhere over in the British Isles somewhere. And that debate was a setup. The moderator sided with James White because he gave James White publicity for when he was preaching in the British Isles. It was a setup stacked against Dr. Jack Mormon. And yet, Dr. Mormon, I did not see him once attack James White, calling them names, he was very strong in his defense of the King James Bible. And he would point out things that James White would say that were incorrect. That's the balance. He was not trying to win an argument. He was defending the truth. Number six. Expect to be misunderstood and even attacked for your position on the inspired, preserved Word of God. There are independent Baptist preachers. You say that you believe that the King James Bible is inspired and preserved, will call you has called you a rat in a woodpile. A rat in a woodpile. Call me a rat in a woodpile. You will be misunderstood. Galatians 4:16 says this, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, the bottom line issue is this. Has God preserved His words, not just in the originals, but for us today? I believe that's the question you're going to have to ask for yourself. And let me just say, I think of a man in Albania, an individual in Albania, who said that very few, this individual stands alone. I've been having contact from them, from this individual. Very few stand for the King James Bible, the preserved Word of God in Albania. I believe it's heading that way here in America. Expect to be misunderstood and even attacked. You're going to have your convictions. Father, I want to thank you for this course. Thank you for the things that were strengthened in my own heart regarding your word. Father, this is a big debate here at this present time. A lot of division over the issue of the inspired, preserved Word of God. God, I pray that you'd help each one of these students to be fully persuaded, fully convinced in their minds and their hearts. Not based on what I've said in this class, not based on what Pastor Smith believes. Father, what does your word say? Your words preserved forever. Thank you for giving us your word. Lord, help us to properly defend it in Jesus' name. Amen.